All right, let me jump into the Right Side Way monologue, and I'll remind you guys that every single day, Attorney Stan McDonald, he is the sponsor daily of the Right Side Way monologue, and I'll tell you more about Stan McDonald here in just a minute. So there's a lot of talk right now about right-sizing of government. I mean, you know, about bringing big government into a place of greater efficiency, about making government leaner and more responsive and certainly more responsible. And it's got a lot of people upset. But I have to ask, what's so upsetting? I mean, is it the loss of individual jobs? Maybe. But what else? Because there really is no other downside. And that one is big, to be sure, especially if the job was yours. But in reality, a job that is not producing, not effective, not timely, not efficient, is really not a job at all. It's just a place where checks are written for someone to have. But that's not the role of government. It's not. What this whole argument comes down to is the simple review of whether or not government exists for itself or for the people who fund it. Who is government for? Is government there solely to employ people? Or is government designed to bring efficiency and rule of law and order and security and essential services to the citizens that built the government? It really comes down to what you believe. And that comes down to principles. And that, my friends, is one of the things that separates progressives from conservatives. So why are we conservatives? There's several reasons. It's a question, though, that most never ask. I mean, they just are, right? For some of us, it's like, why do we breathe? I mean, if someone came up and asked you, hey, why are you a conservative? What would you say? Could you frame the discussion succinctly? Could you lay it out in a way that everybody who heard it would go, oh, I get that. You see, sometimes we just know things in our gut, right? But we've never had to put them into actual words. And I'm that way sometimes. Sometimes I just know things, like the fact that I love this country. You can't make me kneel down at the anthem. I get fired up when I see leadership in action. I get emotional when I see a family reunited with their soldier after deployment. And I can't always find the words to describe the feelings about those things. But sometimes, though, sometimes you got to find the words. You see, we should be ready at all times to genuinely and respectfully be able to describe why we are conservatives. And a feeling, that's something in your gut. And a belief, that's something in your mind. But a principle, that's immutable. It's a bedrock thing. And if we're going to be true conservatives in the face of a liberal onslaught like what we've been seeing, then we must be based in principle and know how to describe it. Okay, so here's one of those principles for you, going back to the government thing. I'm a conservative because I believe in limited government. What you talking about, Williams? Yes, indeed. I believe in limited government. I'm talking about the fact that the founders of this country saw fit to establish a democracy, a republic, designed to have three branches, the judicial, the legislative, and the executive. But they purposefully intended that it not get bloated. Conservative commentator Dennis Prager, he says that the bigger the government, the smaller the citizen, and he's not wrong. Now, rest assured, I believe that government does have a purpose. I've pointed it out many times. And I said, even as one of my examples is that Jesus himself even said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, meaning that he recognized that earthly authority does have a place. The founders intended for a government to provide for the common defense, to establish the rule of law, to ensure that life, limb, and property are protected. And there are some things that governments are definitely designed to do. Governments are there to fight our nation's wars. They're there to establish trade with foreign nations. They're there to protect the vulnerable by means of police and fire departments, ensuring equal justice, enacting the laws through representative bodies of elected citizens. But I also believe that the value of the private citizen, the private effort, is what makes this country so great. And when government is the first resort to take care of our basic daily needs, then nothing but bad things happen. More and more government means more and more regulation, stifling regulation too often. As government grows, it must justify its existence and prove to the world that life cannot exist without it, right? There's that old quote, Ronald Reagan, he once said, a government big enough to give you all that you need is a government big enough to take away all that you have. And truer words could not be spoken. When we find ourselves fully dependent on government, there is little incentive, there's little drive, there's little fulfillment. There's only expectation and a sense that we are entitled. We demand, we no longer create. We are required then to exist off the revenues that are collected by government. And for those who still try to produce, out there in the private sector trying to thrive, trying to create, the government must have more from you. while also creating more regulations to tell you how and when and where you will provide for the government so the government can give to those entitled individuals who have chosen the government as their first resort. One of my favorite authors, he wrote a book called Spiritual Leadership. It's one that I'm actually using in a Bible study right now. His name is Oswald Sanders. In a work that was actually designed for Christian leadership, but it applies in any category, and he said this one time. He said, quote, "The spirit of the welfare state does not produce leaders. If a person is not willing to rise early and work late to expend greater effort and diligent study and faithful work, that person will not change a generation. Fatigue is the price of leadership. Mediocrity is the result of never getting tired." That's a huge statement. Look, I don't want the U.S. to be a mediocre country. We should never desire to be a nation of low-level producers who reach out to government for the next stimulus check, the next handout, the next excuse why they don't have to go to work. A nation where productivity is stymied by so many regulations that folks just give up trying. Where taxation becomes so onerous that people choose not to even produce just to avoid having the government reach in their wallets again. And in that vein, I don't want a government that is so big, so entitled with its own existence, that the people that work in our government don't feel they have a need to justify their existence by answering a simple email that says something like, "Hey boss, here's what I did last week." Only self-entitled bureaucrats would find that offensive. But really, if we get down to the point, though, that people cannot exist without the government, it will only be because we've forgotten that government actually cannot survive without the people. Then we're just like that proverbial self-licking ice cream cone at that point, just existing for the never-ending loop of mediocrity, living off what the government gives us while in turn feeding an ever-growing government. I read a quote once, and I read it on the show once. It stuck with me for years, indelibly. I actually found it on a plaque on the wall in one of my favorite little meet and three local restaurants. It was a quote from a pastor named Adrian Rogers who once said this, and I'm going to read it to you. It's a lengthy quote. He says, "Friend, you cannot legislate the poor into freedom by legislating the wealthy out of freedom. And what one person receives without working for, another person must work for without receiving. The government can't give to anybody anything the government does not first take from somebody. And when half the people get the idea they don't have to work because the other half's going to take care of them, and when the other half get the idea it does no good to work because somebody's going to get what they work for, well, that, dear friend, is about the end of any nation." Yeah. So I'm a conservative for a number of reasons, one of which is limited government. I do not balk at government existing. I don't rail against the machine. I don't believe that all elected officials are corrupt. I don't. But I do believe that too much government is never best. For us to win as a nation, we must have the will of the people, not the will of the government. Government should exist solely to ensure that liberty actually survives. To free up the private citizen to build the better mousetrap, to set the parameters for national growth, to make options available, not mandates. Liberal progressives, they believe the American spirit's a myth. That government knows best. That you exist for the benefit of the government and not the other way around. Liberal progressives, they believe that government should always be the first resort when you face a personal hardship. Not your family, your church, your community, certainly not your own self-determination. For the past few years, we have lived under more government regulation and interaction with our personal lives than perhaps ever in the history of our nation. But like so many of you listening, I'm a conservative. I believe in limited government. A government that is responsive, to be sure, one that actually answers when we call, right? But one that's not also in the way. I'm a conservative, so I believe in a limited government that allows freedom of movement, one that sets the stage for success and then steps back and applauds when the private sector knocks another home run out of the park. I'm a conservative. I believe in the satisfaction that comes from enduring, from creating, from achieving, from trying and failing and trying again and succeeding through effort, like real effort, not big government entitlements or stifling regulations. Limited government. Just one of those reasons I chose to be a conservative. Because it is a choice. Now, how about they just answer the freaking email? It's really not that hard. And it's a wrap for the Right Side Way.